Speak unto all the congregation of the children of Israel, and say unto them, Ye shall be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy. Leviticus 19:2. Shalom, greetings, welcome back to the broadcast. I'm Sean. Website can be found at scriptureandprophecy.com. And just a quick reminder, this broadcast is 100% listener supported. Please consider supporting it by going to scriptureandprophecy.com. There's a donate and support tab at the top. And if you're listening on YouTube, all that is in the description on this video. Today, we are continuing our study, Faith and Works. And this is Faith and Works out of the General Epistles. And we just finished up the book of James last week, and we're starting 1 Peter. The first epistle of Peter today. Now, James, he was very clear about don't talk about being a Christian. Demonstrate it by how you live. He says, you want to know what I believe? You can see that in my works. Don't deceive yourselves. Be a doer of what the word says, not a hearer only. So James is very clear about your actions matter. Your actions demonstrate what you truly believe. Peter's not unlike that, except he's more focused on as a result of the precious blood of Jesus, as a result of you being saved by God's grace without merit, how should you live? As a result of being saved, how should you conduct your life? For some reason, there's just been this growing thought in Christianity, at least in the Western world, that you just somehow Jesus has freed you to sin. You somehow now have a license to sin. When what the Bible really teaches is that Jesus has saved you from the power of sin. And now, because of the Holy Spirit, you should be able to, not perfectly so, but increasingly so, live a holy life. And Peter's certainly going to say that in his own words. Our chapter today is only about 25 verses, but we're going to do just like we did with the book of James, line by line. And I think this is, again, all the general epistles, James, Peter, John, Jude, it's so timely today. It's so timely today. Because modern Christianity has heaped up teachers to tickle the ears rather than pierce the heart. So with that introduction, open up your hearts this morning. We're in a weird season in human history. It's time to draw near to God. It's time to be very serious about your relationship with Him. And it's time to get back to taking holiness seriously, because God takes it seriously. Let's begin. 1 Peter, King James Bible, verse 1. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you, and peace be multiplied. So please note, there's a mouthful just in his greeting This short chapter is basically broken down by three parts. We have a greeting. We have him talking about born again to a living hope. And the call to be holy. Some doctrine right here just in his greeting. Verse 2, number 1. To those of you who are elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father. So you're chosen according to God's foreknowledge. Then he says, through sanctification of the Spirit. What's sanctification? Sanctification is that process where you are being set apart. You're being set apart. You're being made holy. It's that state or process of being made holy. Being made like Christ. It's a step that most modern Christians have skipped. Or don't understand, or the church isn't teaching it. They think, that's why you hear me say everyone wants the free gift of salvation offered by Christ without the transformation. This is the transformation part. Now, what's the transformation part lead to? Peter tells you. So you have elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father. That's to let you know that God knew you from the foundations of the world. And as a result of that, you should be humble, right? Through sanctification of the Spirit, to the process of being made like Jesus, the process of becoming holy unto obedience. You see, that holiness leads to obedience to God. That sanctification process leads to transformation that leads to obedience. It's not hard. It's hard maybe in practice. I'm saying it's not hard to comprehend. And there's no shortages of scripture that teach this. Continuing on. Verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again unto a living hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. So Peter points out a hope that I think many of us, including myself, sometimes might be guilty of forgetting or lacking understanding. Our hope is that because God raised Christ from the dead, we can hope that we will also be risen to an inheritance that doesn't rust, that can't be stolen, that doesn't decay, that fadeth not away, and it's reserved in heaven for you. Peter's trying to encourage a people who are dealing with grave persecution and hatred. Verse 5, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. So what's the point of temptation and struggles and suffering? Peter calls it the trial of your faith. It's being tried by fire. You see, God's trying to make you like his son. You're going through a process so that when the day comes at the appearing of Christ, you might be found unto praise and honor. Verse 8. Whom having not seen you love, in whom though now you see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. Of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied the grace that should come unto you. Searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ which was in them did signify, when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow. Unto whom it was revealed that not on them unto themselves, but unto us they did minister the things which are now reported to you, by them having preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost, sent down from heaven, which things angels desire to look into. So Peter's saying this mystery that was prophesied in old, that the prophets themselves didn't even understand, and even the angels have longed to look into, that's all now being revealed. That's all now being made available to us. You're being blessed because you have chosen to love and put your faith into someone you've never seen. Peter says, whom having not seen, you love. In whom, though now you see him not yet believing. And what is it that you receive at the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls? So he sets the stage by saying, hey, you were purchased with a price. The struggles you're going through are to get you prepared for the day of Christ revealing. You're going through a sanctification process which should lead to obedience. He's trying to get the point across of how precious the salvation itself is. Now, the next 10 verses, as we end this chapter, are going to be, what do you do in light of that information? How do you respond to that fact, to that God showed you such unmerited, undeserved grace and mercy? Let's have a look. Verse 13. Wherefore? So as a result of the information we just talked about, wherefore, gird up your loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ, as obedient children, not fashioning yourself according to the former lust in your ignorance. So please note, be sober. Gird up your loins, hope to the end for that grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ, as what? As obedient children, so walking in obedience, just like a child obeys its father, not fashioning yourselves according to your former lust, the sins and the lust and the passions that you had before while you were ignorant of the things of God. You see, if you're not ignorant of the things of God, and these things have been revealed to you, and you continue to walk in your filth, that's a red flag. That's alarm bells should be going off. Verse 15, continuing this conversation. But as he which called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. Matthew Henry says this, short paragraph here. Holiness is the desire and duty of every Christian. It must be in all affairs, in every condition, and towards all people. We must especially watch and pray against the sins to which we are inclined. The written word of God is the surest rule of a Christian's life. And by this rule we are commanded to be holy every way. God makes those holy whom he saves. So Matthew Henry's saying what's obviously true according to scriptures. People who have a relationship with God will be holy in conduct. Plain and simple. Notice what he says. We must especially watch and pray against the sins to which we are inclined. We all have our things, right? Those things that try to draw us away from God on a daily basis. And it's different for different people. For some, it might be the lusts of the flesh. For some, it might be gossip. For some, it might be covetousness. For some, it might be, name a sin. Gluttony. Whatever it is, we need to be watching against it, praying against it on a daily basis. Remember from our psalm, Lord, keep thy servant from presumptuous sin and let it not rule over me. Rather, let holiness rule over me. Next verse, verse 17. So 16 says, because it is written, be holy for I am holy. Verse 17, and if you call on the Father, who without respect of persons judges according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. Well, this doesn't sound like what I'm taught on Sundays. I'm actually going to have to give an account for the things I've done and said. Indeed. And as a result of that, Peter's saying you need to pass your time here as a sojourner, right? In fear. Let me read you one more paragraph from Matthew Henry. We're almost done with our study this morning. Here's what he says about that verse. Holy confidence in God as a father, an awful fear of him as a judge agree together. So these things go hand in hand. And to regard God always as a judge makes him dear to us as a father. If believers do evil, God will visit them with corrections. Then, let Christians not doubt God's faithfulness to his promise, nor give way to enslaving dread of his wrath, but let them reverence in his holiness. All right, verse 18, just a few more verses. He's going to say why you should be treating this with such reverence and fear. Verse 18, for as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversations received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundations of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God, that raised him up from the dead, and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. Seeing you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that you love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is grass, and all the glory of man is a flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word by which the gospel was preached unto you. And that is the end of chapter 1. Peter says, we ought to be walking in holiness. Because it's not as simple as that you were purchased with something corruptible like money. You were purchased with the blood of the Son of God. You were purchased with the precious blood of the Lamb, spotless, never sinned. So many people trample the blood of Christ. They have such a casual attitude of towards what it cost for you to be saved from your sins, for you to not be eternally separated from God in the lake of fire. You were bought with a price, a very expensive one. God's own Son. And as a result of that, you should be taking holiness very, very seriously. I make no apologies about being bold with that statement, and I preach it in the mirror to myself as well. I hope you're being blessed by this study, Faith and Works. Please share these videos, specifically these Faith and Works videos, because this is what Christians need to hear. This is what the church needs to hear. A call back to holiness. And please consider supporting the podcast. Thank you for your prayers. Thank you for listening. Peace and grace be with all of you. And until next time, God bless.